Grace and peace to you in Jesus' name as we begin together this new season of the journey. Amen. I invite the congregation to be seated. As I said, I wanted to save the Old Testament lesson for the reading just before we meditate on it, and it is this Isaiah passage, Isaiah 58, verses 1 to 12. This is God's word through the prophet on true and false fasting. Isaiah writes, "Cry aloud, do not hold back. Lift up your voice like a trumpet. Declare to my people their transgression, to the house of Jacob their sins. Yet they seek me daily and delight to know my ways, as if they were a nation that did righteousness and did not forsake the judgment of their God. They ask of me righteous judgments. They delight to draw near to God. Why have we fasted and you see it not? Why have we humbled ourselves and you take no knowledge of it? Behold, in the day of your fast you seek your own pleasure and oppress all your workers. Behold, you fast only to quarrel and to fight and to hit with a wicked fist. Fasting like yours this day will not make your voice to be heard on high. Is such the fast that I choose? A day for a person to humble himself? Is it to bow down his head like a reed and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Will you call this a fast and a day acceptable to the Lord? Is not this the fast that I choose? To loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the straps of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free, and to break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry, and bring the homeless poor into your house, when you see the naked to cover him, and not to hide yourself from your own flesh? Then shall your light break forth like the dawn, and your healing shall spring up speedily. Your righteousness shall go before you, the glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry, and he will say, Here I am. If you take away the yoke from your midst, the pointing of the finger and speaking wickedness, if you pour yourself out for the hungry and satisfy the desire of the afflicted, then shall your light rise in the darkness and your gloom be as the noonday. And the Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your desire in scorched places and make your bones strong. And you shall be like a watered garden, like a spring of water, whose waters do not fail, and your ancient ruins shall be rebuilt. You shall raise up the foundations of many generations, and you shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of streets to dwell in. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God." I wanted to read that somewhat lengthy passage from Isaiah for you because it puts those two fasts, those two images of fasting side by side, true and false fasting. It bears some study and reflection, and I would even encourage you, if you have a Bible with you or if you maybe want to pull the Pew Bible out and look at it, Isaiah 58, 1 to 12, it's worth your contemplation, even perhaps as you think about what to read or what to contemplate during the season of Lent. To me, tonight, it invited me to think about my own practice of devotion, my own prayer life, and my fasting. The way we talk reveals something of the way we think, and the way we think reveals something of the way we believe. Sometimes you hear people say, for instance, "She watches religiously." Maybe we're talking about hockey. "She watches the Oilers religiously." You might hear someone speak like that. What is someone saying when they say, "She watches hockey religiously"? Is hockey a religion? No one would say it's a religion, despite what our actions sometimes imply. What we actually mean is, she watches with some regularity. She watches again and again and again. She knows when the games are going to be, and she keeps track of them. She makes these games a priority in her life. She cares about hockey enough to keep track of when it happens and to pay attention. You get the idea. So when someone does something religiously, what we really mean is regularly. It might seem like it takes the mystery out of the word, but that's really what we're talking about. The practice of something religiously is really just the practice of it with some regularity. It's somewhat common these days to hear people say, "I'm not very religious." Maybe what they actually mean is, "I don't really adhere to anything with a degree of regularity. I kind of go one way and then another." Sometimes I enjoy it when people say, "I'm not very religious." I like to reply, "You know, that's good, because neither was Jesus." It was, in fact, the religious people that Jesus irritated the most, usually by breaking their rules and by calling out their hypocrisy. And I'm not suggesting that there's anything wrong with being religious, unless that's all you are. After all, there needs to be a faith which underlies our religious lives in order for that religion to have any kind of life to it. After all, a person can behave in all sorts of ways religiously. They might be obligated by a promise they made way back when. They might carry guilt from some experience in their life and have promised God that by adhering to a strict moral code, they might just earn their way back into His favor. Or perhaps someone behaves religiously without too much self-examination. They were taught to live a certain way, and they simply do so. Faith, on the other hand, is a matter of the heart. And faith which underlies all true religious practice is a powerful, an emotional, and a spiritual level. A person with faith may exhibit all sorts of religious behaviors, a season of feasting, a season of fasting. And so we come to Lent, Ash Wednesday, the beginning of the most significant fast of the Christian calendar. It's a very religious time of year. But lest we fixate on the traditions and behaviors, we are invited today by the prophet Isaiah, by God Himself, to recall the deep truths that underlie even these very traditions. We are invited to recall the love, the generosity, the practice which Jesus exemplified in His life, which underlies the visible ashes and perhaps the recognizable feast. Isaiah is like a bucket of cold water, more often than not. In the first five verses, if you noticed, God, through His prophet, described the actions of His people. "They seek me daily," God identifies. "They delight to know my ways." And then quoting His people, God says, "Why have we fasted and you see it not?" Speaking perhaps even with a note of sarcasm. "Why have we humbled ourselves and you take no knowledge of it?" Truly, there was something lacking in the fast of God's people in Isaiah's day. Something lacking which He points to with precision. "Behold, in the day of your fast, you seek your own pleasure. Behold, you oppress all your workers." Aha, now we're coming to it. "Is this the fast that I choose?" asks God, looking at our lives, looking at our religious behaviors, and calling us to account for what happens in our hearts. "Is this the fast that I choose?" Perhaps it's your practice during Lent to give something up, to forego eating a certain food or drinking a certain drink, or watching a certain type of entertainment. Perhaps you have developed a tradition in Lent of fasting from something or another. I think that Isaiah's question, God's question, can be our question tonight too. Is this the fast that I choose? And if you choose to fast during Lent, for what purpose do you fast? Isaiah is good for helping us see through the religious behavior which can become so ordinary and so human. And he's also good for helping us to see the essence of fasting, the fast that God chooses, that which is described in verses 6, 7, 8, and 9. These are truly verses which challenge us to live it, don't they? To loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the straps of the yoke. These are metaphors, sure, but they point to actions in our lives which are outward, which involve more than just our own selves, but the people around us. Is this not the fast that I choose? God invites us to reflect as we begin our fast in Lent. Is it not to share your bread with the hungry? To share. Is this a fast? Is it not to bring the homeless poor into your house? Sharing, bringing in, these are also actions which God calls fasting. What sort of fast is this? Author, pastor, and speaker Irwin McManus was teaching, and I was listening to a recording of his teaching somewhat recently, and he made the following statement, which caught me by surprise and grabbed my attention for a few weeks, actually. He said, courage is not the absence of fear, it's the absence of self. I thought this was a profound thing, and I stopped the DVD at that statement, and I wanted to just reflect on this. Courage is not the absence of fear, but the absence of self. The point that he was making by this statement was that when we act courageously, it's because we've stopped worrying about what other people think of us. It's because we've stopped reflecting on how we will be perceived or how we will be criticized, especially. Courage is not the absence of fear, in other words, saying, I don't care what anybody thinks, but actually, it's the complete focus on helping another. Most of us know what to do. We have probably three or four things in our back pocket that we think those would be good things to do. And yet sometimes we hesitate to do them because we wonder, what will people think of me? How will this be perceived? What will be the blowback? Courage is not the absence of fear, but the absence of self. As I read Isaiah's words, God's words, through his prophet Isaiah, especially in verses 6, 7, and 8, I see God inviting his people into a fast from the self. If much of our fasting and much of my fasting in years past has been an effort to discipline myself, to cultivate perhaps a prayerful life, to forego eating certain things in order to control myself, this year I've been challenged to stop being so self-focused and simply to focus on the lives of some other people. It seems relatively simple when it comes down to it. In fact, it seems so similar to Jesus that I get tingles thinking about it. I get shivers thinking about perhaps this is what God, through his prophet in Isaiah 58, was driving at. Perhaps the fast which he invites us to as his people is to simply watch and learn from Jesus. In Philippians chapter 2, Jesus is described as he who did not consider his equality with God something to be clung to, something to be grasped and held on to, but who humbled himself and who came down, who made himself human, who took upon himself human flesh and who took upon himself the cares and the burdens of those around him, healing the sick, casting out demons, feeding the hungry, and spending his time with the poor and the outcasts. This Jesus, who emptied himself, humbled himself even to the point of death, the apostle puts it in Philippians chapter 2. Jesus truly fasted from selfdom. He put his own self aside when he came to earth. He put his own self aside so that he could take up you and I in his arms and care for us and nurture us and feed us and even be crucified and die for us, the perfect sacrifice for your sins and for mine. Jesus was the perfect, selfless lamb who gave himself up to be an offering for all of his beloved people. And so this Lent, as I think about the fast ahead of us, and as I consider God's stern and somewhat bracing words through his prophet in Isaiah 58, I wonder about a fast from self. Can I put my own interests, my own goals, my own dreams, even my own self-reflection and discipline on the back burner for these 40 days, and can I think outwardly? I'd like to invite you to even have a concrete takeaway tonight. You'll notice on the back page of your bulletin, there's a beautiful blank sheet of paper, my favorite. A white blank piece of paper, as Karen has gotten to know me, there's nothing more inviting to me than that. A place for you to reflect. A place for you, perhaps, to write down a few names. Sometimes this is the simplest way to pray, isn't it? Just write down a few names. Perhaps there are people in your life that you are being poured out into. Perhaps there are people in your life that you are praying for, holding up in a special way. Perhaps as you reflect and maybe develop a quietness, people will come to your mind whose names you can write there. Or on another page of some journal or a place where you'll see and be reminded to pray. A simple step, listing the people that God lays on your heart. But perhaps the first step in a fast of self. Dear friends in Christ, during this season of Lent, of penitence, may you have the courage to be emptied of self, to fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, and may the experience of being emptied prepare us to be filled once again with the richness, the perfection of God's saving love in Jesus. Amen. And now may the peace which passes your understanding and mine guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus as we continue our worship. Amen.